Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, judging from the newspapers and the television, it would seem as if we live in a very violent and dangerous world. Local shootings, even murders, somehow end up just a paragraph in the paper. Maybe a name, maybe without a name, just a paragraph. Every new movie is advertised with scenes of car crashes and autos blowing up on the screen and in the streets. Reports of road rage leave me wondering how many emotionally troubled people are driving cars on our streets. The big battle over whether everyone and anyone has a right to carry a gun in our society, concealed or not. I grew up with my father, who was a hunter. There were always guns in our house. They were for hunting, not for defense. The number of little kids killed by accident because they were innocently playing at the wrong place is really very troubling, and that's local. And those who were playing with loaded guns found in the car seat or in a drawer in a bedroom, tragic. So add your own examples of the violence in our society, but you know what I mean. The problem is that all the anger of the world somehow spills out into our TVs in our homes every day. And even though we are told the actual number of violence is decreasing, it just seems like it's constant. And there's no way to avoid it. No wonder we have helicopter parents who want to take their children to school and make sure they get there safely. No wonder. And it's in that very modern context that today's gospel should be listened to and should be almost shocking. Almost shocking. Offer no resistance to anyone who is evil and love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love them. Why? Because God does. Because God does. Love transforms, not fear or violence. And so we're asked this morning to love our enemies and to name them and to love them. From the very beginning, the people of Israel were told to love the folks on the edge of the crowd. And for them, it always was orphans, widows, and aliens, people who were just moving through, weren't connected to any family in the area. We should love them. Israel was told that, and care for them in strong and complete ways. Outsiders were to be welcomed, not feared or avoided. And of course, that's not only ancient stories, but an admonition to us as well, in this country, at this point in life. I've told a couple of these stories before, I know, but they really struck me in the course of the past week as relevant, because I went to the most conservative Orthodox section in Jerusalem many years ago. And I went to this little tiny synagogue in Mea Shearim. That's what they call it, the 100 gates of the old city. And I went there because I wanted to hear Hebrew prayed. I wanted to hear it sung. There was just a little group of 12 men up in that little synagogue. And I can never forget, all these years later, at the end of it, one of the gentlemen came up to me and he said, "You know, we have an obligation to take in the stranger." And he said, "You are obviously a stranger." Would you like to come home to dinner?
Whoa. Whoa.
And I've often thought, and I've probably said it right here in the past, I've often thought, I've gone to a lot of Catholic churches all over the country. No one has ever come up to me and said, "You're a stranger. Would you like to come home to dinner?" So that's one example. You know, that's part of the history of Israel, to be welcoming to strangers. And it's the history of our own faith as well. The Amish community, more than just welcoming, recently, when someone went into that little school and shot several children and killed them, they immediately offered forgiveness. As tragic as it was in their families, they made a point publicly of offering forgiveness because they said that's what we have to do. You know, the examples are multiplied. That family in Georgia, where the man came in and prayed and sang and then shot 9 people. But the response was sadness and forgiveness. Sadness and forgiveness. No resistance. Love your enemies. Maybe the root of the problem is that we have created a world of us versus them, whomever the us and them might be. And it's Democrats and Republicans in our nation. It's also Anglos and Latinos. It's also inner city versus suburbanites. There's always an us and a them. And to recognize that is one thing, but to live in divided, very protected worlds against the them, whomever that may be, has become the problem. It's just bigger than violence. This morning I thought about that wonderful poem of Robert Frost about building walls, about repairing walls, that he went out with his neighbor every spring to pick up the stones and build the walls again. And the neighbor said, "Good walls make good neighbors." And Robert Frost said, "Well, you know, I'm not so sure. Maybe if we had cows, it would make sense." But he said, I have pine trees on my side, and he's got apple trees on his side. They're not going to wander around. Why should we be so concerned about building the walls? Maybe they don't make good neighbors. We've always had the fact that this country has looked down on the most recent immigrants, whomever they might be. At the very beginning, the WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, were really very much opposed to the Irish. And in fact, historians tell us that on the signs in New York City, it's looking for applicants for people might come and work, it would say, "Irish not welcome." Irish not welcome. But then my own family, my grandfather came down to Racine about 1900 with fellow people from Slovakia, and they went to the neighboring Catholic church, and that group happened to be Polish, said, "We really don't want you people here." And so they went to the Lithuanians, and the Lithuanians took them in. Of all people, the Lithuanians took them in. And I recall down on the south side of the city, when it was Immaculate Conception, it was in the 40s, and maybe they say the late 30s, where on a Sunday morning, the pastor walked up and down the aisle and found out Italians and said, "Why don't you go to your own church? This is an Irish church." You know? So we've got this history of division of one kind or another. And this gospel takes a look at whatever form and shape it might take in any given age. The gospel calls us to be our best. The gospel asks us to find examples of God at work, breaking down barriers. Breaking down barriers. I notice, because I watch the ads all the time. My housemaid laughs at me for paying more attention to the advertising than to the program. But the fact is the matter, I watch the ads, and I notice how increasingly advertising features diversity, with African-American families and Anglo families and Hispanic families as part of the advertising. So not only to find examples of God in the world, but to be an example is what the gospel asks us to do. An example of respecting the diversity of God's creation. So, you know, the point of the gospel is to me, to each of us, who do you find hard to love? Who do you find really hard to love? Then love them. And find a way to do it. Even if they persecute you. Especially if they persecute you. Love them. And so that's the summons of this set of readings. And it really is God addressed to us. And we are the temple of God. So we really should pay attention, I think.